And good morning, 1 minute before 9 o'clock on your Thursday morning, your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Get up, stand up. Coming up in a half hour on Fight the Empire, host Per Fogering discusses Europe and the migrant crisis. He also discusses the depleting of Africa and how much more money flows out of Africa than flows into the continent as aid. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia is off today. Instead, we'll hear an hour of flashpoints. Today, a special report on the current migrant crisis in Hungary and the immediate region. Also, a preview of the 2015 Soil Not Oil International Conference. And we speak with Harvey Wasserman on Obama in Alaska and alternative energy. At 11 on Between the Covers, writer David Mitchell talks about his novel The Bone Clocks. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk. Local author and activist Walida Imarisha discusses Octavia's Brood, science fiction stories from social justice movements. But first, it's Press Watch with news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. And that is coming up next on KBOO.
Have you entered the KBOO Fall Membership Drive Sweepstakes? The grand prize is a trip to Busurias, Mexico, including $1,000 in airfare and a week's worth of lodging at Casa Tranquila. Other prizes include a Portland Center Stage Flex Pass, hundreds of dollars to Grand Central Bakery, and health and wellness packages at Evolution Healthcare and Fitness. We have raised over $10,000 at this time to help shorten the fall membership drive. Remember, for every $15,000 we raise before September 9th, we will take 1 day off our fall membership drive. A donation is not required to enter the sweepstakes. For more info, visit kboo.fm/2015fallsweeps. And thank you to everyone who has donated early to the fall membership drive.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Good morning, this is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Where do police rank on the annual list of 10 most deadly professions, as compiled by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics? They don't. They're 14th. Truck driving is more dangerous, and construction working is number one. Hundreds of deaths annually. Shout out to construction workers. Thank you for your service. Who has more people in prison as a proportion of population when comparing, let's say, North Korea and the United States? Well, the U.S. does, especially when you add in the 54,000 kids behind bars. Hello, police state. How are you this morning? Difference is, when the North Korean police come to arrest you, they don't kill you on the spot based on your skin color. You want to know the stats? Look them up. 707 per 100,000 in the U.S., between 600 and 800 in North Korea, but as I said, that doesn't add in the kids. Canada has 118 per 100,000 in jail, and Denmark has 73. We're number one. We're number one. We're number one. Obama is asking for more Arctic icebreakers. So here's a couple. Hey, Arctic, come here often. What's a melting geographic feature like you doing in a place like this? Quoting The Guardian, the extreme loss of Arctic sea ice due to climate change is forcing thousands of walruses to crowd ashore on a remote barrier island off Alaska. You heard about the polar bears, right? Well, we're losing the walruses, and just makes you wonder what the narwhals are going to eat. But returning to the text, it's threatening their survival. Barack Obama was the first U.S. president to visit the Alaskan Arctic on the 31st of August on his three-day tour to draw attention to the drastic consequences of climate change for the Arctic, such as warming winters and the rapid retreat of sea ice. Departing from the text again, can you say hypocrite? Oh my God. Icebreakers. Anyway, the first reported sighting of walruses forced to come ashore. Do you say walrus or walruses? Forced to come ashore in the Chukchi Sea was by a photographer on the 23rd of August, and boy, did he get hell for that. And it was confirmed by villagers in the remote hamlet of Point Lay late on Thursday. That's a previous Thursday. Such landings, forced by the absence of sea ice on which to rest and feed, put the animals at risk of stampede in the limited space of Barrier Island. When the Guardian refers, and that's the end of that little excerpt. You can get more at the Guardian. You can put in guardian.co.uk, and it doesn't matter. It'll come up guardian.com in the U.S. When the Guardian refers to the extreme loss of Arctic ice, they are particularly referring to the annual minimum. That's what the walruses are facing right now, or failing to face. And it's so low that, as even the president has noted, National Geographic has had to redraw its atlas. It's pitiful. It's particularly been melted back, apparently, by the heat of the... well, who knows what melted it back, but it's been melted back on the Asian side rather extremely. So it's just sort of a crescent now instead of a proper North Pole. Meanwhile, there are three major hurricanes in the Eastern Pacific for the first time in history, and they can all be seen from space, just dancing away. Unfortunately, they're not headed towards any landmass. Three major, I mean, these are big ones. We're talking 145 miles an hour winds, and they're spinning along. There they go. Not hitting anything yet. Quoting the BBC, global plans to curb carbon dioxide are well below what's needed to keep temperatures from rising more than 2 degrees, according to a new analysis. It is the work of researchers from the Climate Action Tracker, the CAT. You gotta love that. It's a cat, so it's gonna be good on the internet, right? A consortium of research institutions, Climate Action Tracker. Anyway, they examined the commitments already made by governments to limit warming. The cat, meow, tracked 7 of the 15 submitted carbon plans as inadequate to keep temperatures below the accepted level of dangerous warming. Now, this is where I have to go off and say, am I missing something? We keep talking about, you know, if we don't stop things now, we could get to the point of, wait a minute, Greenland ice mass is getting less every year. We've gotten to the point of irreversible global warming. So, redouble efforts, triple efforts? What? I mean, obviously, we're just going to have to accept the. In addition to anything that we, whatever we means, do or don't do, we have to accept the fact that catastrophic, irreversible global warming is upon us. Especially this year, especially, I mean, you don't hear it from the scientists yet because they're the cautious sorts and they like to measure things before they say anything, but Alaska was on fire, Washington was on fire, California was on fire, Oregon was on fire, is on fire. All that soot has a tremendous effect on global warming. And speaking of the Greenland ice cap, it collects on the Greenland ice cap and it worsens the melt there. The melt worsens the global warming. The global warming makes more fires. The fires worsen the melt. So am I the only person who sees this? Or am I missing something? I'd be interested to know what you think. 503-231-8187. 7 of the 15 submitted carbon plans inadequate. Yep. And the analysis was released at a UN climate negotiation meeting in Bonn, Germany, aimed at advancing a new global treaty. That's coming up. That's in December, I do believe, and I just, how can we take this? How can we take the police state? Have I mentioned Black Lives Matter? I want to mention that at least once every show. Black Lives Matter, hello. More on Black Lives Matter in a minute. You know, people aren't taking the U.S.-supported repressive regime's relatives of 4340 forcibly disappeared Ayotzinapa students, along with their supporters, held a peaceful, or they tried to make a peaceful, rally Wednesday in the Mexican capital. They had traveled from other states to Mexico City to continue to demand justice for their missing children 11 months after their disappearance. This is from Radio Havana, Cuba. However, activists say police violently repressed demonstrators in Mexico City's Central Square after the event concluded. We don't use repressed in that way in the U.S. all that much. What they mean is they beat the hell out of them. Quoting, after the end of the march, riot police sent by Mexico government and other individuals in suits arrested two guys with great violence. There were blows to the people who were there. Then they went into the subway station to find more one by one to literally rip them from the hands of observers. The police would surround people while other police with shields and batons would deliver blows left and right. And that's according to a witness, Ana Elena Contreras, telling Guerrilla Communication Mexico, which I assume is an arm of Radio Havana. Photos on social media showed various people with serious injuries. In the U.S., there's an article by Jose Martinez, and I was saying I'd get to more of Black Lives Matter and the whole situation with the occupation by violent police and the mass incarceration crisis here in Police State America. Your number to call for your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Jose Martinez writes in counterpunch.org, Houston, we have a problem, false equivalencies on police violence. And I want to share part of that. He writes, just as there is no moral equivalence of a rapist and the rape victim, there is none between the police and blacks. It is nowhere near a 50-50 equivalence of blame between the police and the blacks, though it is not surprising there may be some black pastors or some in the NAACP who will equally tell police and blacks to tone down the rhetoric, or worse, tell only blacks to do so. It is not a school ground situation where a principal may tell two boys who are fighting to just shake hands and make peace. Yes, there is finger pointing, and it is distinctly clear thereof that the origin and thereby the solution to police problems is with the police themselves. Given that the very origin of policing the U.S. was slave patrols, to the current extensive documentation of the problems to this very moment. And Martinez writes, this also applies in a way to the toxic historic and current relationship between police and Hispanic and poor whites. But we need to stay focused today on what is going on in the nation in regard to blacks. And departing from the text, and despite what he says, oh my God, have you seen the latest police shooting? And I'm talking about, well, maybe it's not the latest. You know, a few hours have passed. So Houston police, was it Houston? No, it was San Antonio police, I believe. Okay, I can't remember which police it was. On video, on CNN, some guy is being a complete bastard to his family. Police get called. They come out. They yell for him to come out of the house. He comes out of the house, and you can see him in the video. And this guy is enormous, and he has shiny, shiny white skin, and it's shining all over the place, and you can see that he hasn't got anything in his hands, and he hasn't got anything on his body, and it's just this, you know, big fat white guy, and he comes out, and the police yell at him, and he holds his hands up, and they shoot him to death, and then there's nothing unusual about that, nor is there anything unusual about the fact that on CNN, they brought on an expert to talk about, you know, what this means, and let's get a police, you know, view on the on the situation, of course. And of course, their police expert came in and said because they could find a freeze frame in which part of one arm was obscured, they then pretended the police person, I don't know if it's a man or woman who is at least 10 feet from this guy, holding a handgun at him, was in fear for their lives. Which is just, I mean, it just cannot be more ridiculous, cannot be more common. And they do this because they know that it works for a certain part of the population. You know, they both kind of narrow their eyes and they get together. These may be minute gestures, but they're clear enough if you look at the video that, you know, it's like, okay, now we people who know about stuff, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, what's really going on. Don't be fooled by this video, which apparently shows someone being shot to death without a damn thing in his hands. Of course, it is a video of someone being shot to death, murdered by police. But returning to the article, it is not the rhetoric that simply kills people, as Houston officials claim, but the circumstances also when Houston officers refer to police lives mattering and the ideal that all lives matter. That is not the current practice, nor the history in society. When the Harris County DA says it is not anything we can tolerate about a deputy killed, that is obvious. Though they have obviously been tolerating the killing of people of color disproportionately. Oh, there's that word. Now I'm going to go off again. disproportionate. If there's anything that frightens and turns off the minds of conservatives, it's the word disproportionate. They cannot hear it. What does it mean? They did not hear that word. Disproportionate. Okay. I'll return to the text. It says, another official said, cops don't deserve this at all. But you have not heard him say that blacks don't deserve being killed. Moreover, the president of a deputy organization there pointed out public sentiment against police. If that's the case, he should ask why. The police, Martinez writes, still expect that their storyline is the one to go on. They are to be believed, though their lying is so second nature that there is what they themselves refer to as testifying in court, of all things. Lying from officials got us into Vietnam and the millions killed then and over a million in the Middle East recently. Prior to being recorded as they are now, police false accounts were to be believed, and white juries have been notorious for believing them. Police now blame those recordings for the killing of a tiny number of theirs while saying nothing of the thousands they have been killed intentionally and their lies about it all. A favorite pastime of police is arresting those who record them. Coffee with a cop was canceled in a city when a cop drew a gun on someone who simply was recording them with no attendant crime scene, etc. Otherwise, thus they are blaming the messenger, including the media, in order to cow the latter into submission. But that is unnecessary because the coverage of one police killed is much more extensive, and thus police are more valued than the many blacks killed by police. Martinez writes, the numbers of police killed, by the way, are deceiving in that the majority die in vehicle accidents, not by direct shootings of police, which, when it does occur, is more likely to be by white supremacist types. Policing, in fact, is safer than about 10 other occupations, as I just said. Once, while I was driving in Houston, he writes, I had to stop and tap hard on the window of a police cruiser to wake up an officer to ask for directions. There's more on that at counterpunch.org, counterpunch.org, the article, once again, by Jose Martinez, titled, Houston, We Have a Problem, False Equivalencies on Police Violence. And that last statement, that he tapped on the window of a police cruiser to wake up the officer to ask for directions. I would never do that. Never. And I'm white. And, well, I'm a tranny, though. But, oh, my God. Let him sleep. I'll find my way. Screw that. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And James is on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, so that police officer that was just shot by that guy that got like 15 bullets in his back or whatever, the police officer was talking about how, you know, we need to stop, we need to drop the qualifier and that all lives matter. And they were saying that it was like the 23rd cop killed this year. And it just really frustrates me because if you go to killedbypolice.com, it's like I think we're in the 800 people killed by police.
Yeah, and it's only 7 cops anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying is it's, they're not, yeah, it's ridiculous why they're not even, you know, why, I guess you could see why they wouldn't want to post that information. They wouldn't want it to get out that, that many people have been killed by cops this year. But it's infuriating to me because he's making it seem like, you know, that cops don't do anything bad. And it's like, and people are just going to eat that up. They're going to be like, well, we just need to say that all lives matter.
It's the false equivalency trick. You know, can't we all just get along?
Exactly. You can't.
That's what you say after you beat your wife. Can't we all just get along?
Yeah, exactly. You're so right on point with that. And I have 2 cops in my family, and it's tough, standing up and saying, hey, police brutality is real. And then, I have the rest of my family, getting at me for protesting it. And it's like, I understand that they're good, that they're good people and that they're my family. But that doesn't help the other people who are being hurt. And it's tough.
Yeah, we can't let them pretend because that's... That's what oppressors do. Oh, we're innocent. We're just doing what we have to do. Yada, yada, yada. Sure, police are just people. And absolutely, as I've said before on this program, we train and expect cops to act the way that they do. I mean, and it's disgusting what we do to cops, but the phenomenon is still there. And so we need to address it. And I think there's some terrific cops out there. And I say, fire them all. Fire all cops. Now let's stop being a police state. And that'll cause some problems. Boy, will that cause some problems. Let's sort it out in a different way. And if Denmark can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right on point, and I appreciate your topics.
Well, thanks for calling in. Yeah. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Yeah, I don't want the Pentagon. I don't want cops. I don't want an Imperial USA. That could be a chant. No cops. No KKK. No racist USA. I've done that one before. How's the phrase go? Let's see. A slogan. Depleted. Should never be repeated. Which is a fine one. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Have many more items, of course. Some related to the police state. And some not. But if you're staying tuned, and I hope you are, to KBOO. Isn't it great? Because at 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Per Fagering discusses Europe and the migrant crisis. He also discusses the depleting of Africa and how much more money flows out of Africa than flows into the continent as aid. That's an important point for you to know. Book for you to read if you haven't yet. Very basic book, Open Veins of Latin America, same dynamic, different continent. At 10, Eric Ascadia is off today. We'll hear Flashpoints today, a special report on the current migrant crisis in Hungary. And, if there's one thing I'd like to ask President Obama, no, there's 100 things I'd like to ask, but maybe one thing I'd like to ask is, how many millions of migrants are the U.S. going to take in? Because the U.S. press and the world press have been acting, and even, I'm sorry, the European press have been acting like it's their problem. How does that work? The U.S. starts wars, continues wars, blows up Libya, blows up Syria, blows up Iraq, puts military bases all over the place, funds incredibly nasty insurgent operations like ISIS. Yeah, they do. I'm sorry, it's not. It's just, you can follow the money. Sure, a lot of it comes from Saudi. But they're our buddies too, and we make the problem happen. Everyone gets absolutely desperate, despairs. There was a guy I heard on the air who had pushed his grandma literally thousands of miles in a wheelchair to get away from it. That's how desperate people are. And then the U.S. is just going to say, oh, it's Europe's problem. Yeah. What are those Europeans going to do? No, we did it. We take those migrants. That's justice. We take the migrants now, Obama. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, writer David Mitchell talks about his novel, The Bone Clocks. Hey, did you know Per wrote a novel? Per Fagering has written a novel. More on that at some point. Black Book Talk, a discussion of Octavia's Brood, science fiction stories from social justice movements. And this is KBOO Portland. You're listening to Press Watch. And I am Teresa Mitchell. The whole point of Western propaganda, according to RT.com, it's just to get things out there, no matter if they can be disproven later. And they're quoting Richard Spencer of AlternativeRight.com. Some media report on facts in a way that suits their government's foreign policy agenda. It's kind of obvious, but it's a nice roundup, this article is, of the way Western propaganda works. And I am, as they are, probably thinking of how it works in terms of making you think that the U.S. is on the right side in the war in Ukraine. They write, the Israeli news site Ynet News, citing unnamed Western diplomats, reported Monday that Russia began a military intervention in Syria and deployed fighter jets and helicopters to a government airbase near Damascus to launch attacks against ISIS and rebel-aligned targets. But the Kremlin, you know, in Russia, the Russians, say no. One should not believe these reports, is what they say. Earlier, a Forbes magazine report on alleged Russian army casualties in Ukraine, citing a dodgy Russian website, sparked a media and Twitter storm. And so they have an interview with Richard Spencer, and they ask him, according to the latest article, Russia is sending jets to Syria to fight ISIL in war. Iran is cooperating with them, and the U.S. knows all about it. How do you feel about this story? And Spencer replies, I would first point out that this Ynet story is actually the number one story on Google News when you Google Russia and Syria, so there is not some alternative media blog. This is a major part of the propaganda war. In some ways, he says, it comes out of an alternative universe, and it's not coming from the universe we live in. Russia, as opposed to the U.S., has been the power that has really stressed stability and stressed diplomacy. Russia has prevented a war in Syria in 2013, or at least you could say that it played an indispensable role in preventing what would be yet another catastrophic endless conflict in that region. And he says, yes, I think it's part of a propaganda war, part of a certain faction in the U.S. that wants the Shia and Sunni to be going at it endlessly, that actually wants chaos in the region, that thinks it would be good for Israel or some other's interest. The whole point about a propaganda war is, of course, that it is not true, and it is not even that you can't debunk it later. The whole point of the propaganda war is to get it out there. And departing from the text, yeah, that's the big lie technique and something I've seen over and over again, which is why I'm sharing this article. You can find it at rt.com. Or you can just listen to me on terrestrial radio, and then you won't get tracked by the NSA for pulling up RT.com. Anyway, returning to the text, it says, so you have things like weapons of mass destruction. You have things like Vladimir Putin ordered a plane to be shut down and shot down in Ukraine, and so on and so on. These things can be disproven. These things turn out to be bogus, but the whole point is to get them out there. They are kind of percolating through the media and through people's minds in the West, and that is mainly what the story is about. Much more on that, as I was saying, at RT.com, if you dare. The time is 9:25. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. The number to call, 503-231-8187. You know, we're coming up on our annual fund drive, and people have been sending in money, and we take off a day for every 15,000 we get in, which is, and we've already raised 10,000 to that end. So it's starting to look like people keep sending in, if you keep sending in money, we might reduce it by a day. I hate that because I like to come down here for a pledge drive and get free food that I don't deserve from restaurants. And man, I really enjoy that. But anyway, Dave's on the air. Hi, Dave. What's up?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
I am African-American, and I have two cousins in law enforcement with a collective time of almost 60 years.
Uh-huh.
And I have to tell you, the only reason why there are two factors here, George Zimmerman's outcome and the fact that black officers in this nation are afraid to turn into Christopher Dorner. And that's what's going on. It's fear.
Christopher
fear,
Dorner,
fear,
who went
fear.
Absolutely berserk and grabbed a gun and ran off into the woods, yeah.
Yes, only because he was using his head. So,
he went on Nat Turner.
Two and two didn't make four to him, and I understand that. So I just want to throw that out there. Black law enforcement needs to step up and open their frickin' mouth. Thank you.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Very interesting call. Time is 9:26. Number call 503-231-8187. I've been talking about the propaganda and was kind of pointing towards U.S. wars. Michael Chusadovsky and his website, globalresearch.ca, has a list of things that you should know about the war against Al-Qaeda, against ISIL. It says the first thing is that the U.S. has supported Al-Qaeda and its affiliated organization for almost half a century, since the heyday of the Soviet-Afghan war. Secondly, CIA training camps were set up in Pakistan in the 10-year period between 82 and 92. Some 35,000 jihadists from 43 Islamic countries were recruited by the CIA freaking A to fight in the Afghan jihad. Advertisements paid for from CIA funds were placed in newspapers and newsletters around the world offering inducements and motivations to join the jihad. And departing from that text, yeah, I'm old enough to remember the jihadists coming to meet with Ronnie Reagan and him talking about just how great they were and just palling around, you know, and sharing the coffee. Not the booze, though. Third, since the Reagan administration, Washington has supported the Islamic Terror Network. Ronald Reagan called the terrorist freedom fighters. The U.S. supplied weapons to the Islamic brigades. It was all for a good cause, fighting the Soviet Union and regime change, leading to the demise of a secular government in Afghanistan. Jihadist tech books, he says, that would be textbooks, were published by the University of Nebraska. That's during the same time period, I guess. Osama bin Laden, America's boogeyman and founder of Al-Qaeda, was recruited by the CIA in 1979 at the very outset of the U.S.-sponsored jihadist war against Afghanistan. I hear the music. It's time to listen to Parafogring instead, so I've been glad that I've had the chance to get here and broadcast. I hope that you will be tuning in next week when I'm here trying to raise some money. And we are going out to you via terrestrial broadcasts in the Cascadian area, specifically Portland at 90.7 FM and via the World Wide Web at kboo.fm, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, a three-day event from September 11th through 13th. The keynote speaker for this 20th anniversary celebration will be Mr. Les Pee Wee Harrison. And other speakers include Imani Muhammad, Mike Crenshaw, Jamo Greenidge, and more. That's Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, September 11th through 13th, at venues across Portland. Location, speakers, and more information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Where is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2? 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African highlife, Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included. On alternate weeks, check out top-ranked